No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi!
Messi Uncle, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Como yeah. Que ya es un win, the three of every singing, muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en gloria y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Messi and Co. post-match live reaction. I will say it looks like we are getting people, but I know we're recording at a weird time of day, so we may not get the normal chatter. So if we don't, we'll say in advance, like, please leave your comments when you do watch this to let us know your points, because there's a lot to talk about, and we'll whatever comments we get, we'll for sure shout out. But this was the best time for us to talk, and so we're here to talk. As always, I'm Ashley here with my amazing co-hosts Gian and Matt, and I will just say that wow. Let me start with Inter Miami have won. They beat Tigres 2-1. With two Luis Suarez penalty, that was weird because Inter Miami never get penalties. So it was actually funny that that's how we scored our two goals last night. They win after an extraordinary, crazy match. And they advance to semifinals, which will take place next week at Chase Stadium versus Orlando City. There's a lot to talk about, but I'll start by saying hello to you guys. How are we feeling?
That's a good way to start
with yay, we won. But obviously, there's so much to discuss. How are we feeling?
I wanna bring up this comment.
Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, hey, Leonel.
Chelo didn't score.
Join us at this time.
Chelo didn't score, so my hair gets to see another day. As we talked about in the preview, I said if Chelo scores, I was gonna buzz my hair like Beckham and the ball. So yeah, luckily, I get to keep my head of hair.
Thank God, for now.
Thankfully. But no, I'm feeling good. I went to the game as well. And the La Familia were very lively. And it just felt good to win. It felt good to beat Tigres. It felt good to beat them in regular time without Messi. We got to see Suarez play an amazing game, which we'll talk about even more. But I thought the team played well overall. And I'm just happy that we get to go through to the semifinals because, like I said previously, we're a competitive team and we like to win. And I hope that we can win this tournament.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, too. And I'm happy we got the win. It was not the easiest, but we got it done. So that's cool. And it was a tale of two halves. So I'm interested and excited to talk about that. Completely two different halves. And I don't know. It was a good game. I wanted to show you guys something, actually. I just got this.
Hold on. Please. Oh, that's clean.
Wow.
That's raw, right?
This is the cactus back bar. That is clean.
That and it is to your number. Like you made it like a classic. Like that's your number.
Does that come with or is two what it came with?
That's how it came. But I'm just so happy because it finally came in. I ordered it like 3 months ago or something.
That's and cool.
Like
it it's finally hot came one, it. Right?
Yeah.
Very
I'm so
cool.
Jealous.
Yeah. Wanted to share that. I thought that was so pretty cool. Jealous. And then this jersey is not an Inter Miami one. It's actually a Ecuador national team one. But they did it for breast cancer awareness. So that's why it's pink. So I like rocking it because obviously Inter Miami. So.
Yeah, very it's cool. A nice shade of pink. I like the shade of pink.
And are you in your DePaul jersey?
Of course, I'm in my DePaul jersey.
Love. I'm wearing short sleeve, which I feel like is something I don't normally do. I'm normally in a sweater because we're normally.
I'm gonna be wearing this jersey a lot. I'm gonna be wearing this a lot.
You should.
And then just because I have this near, aren't these sick?
Wow, you guys.
Oh, damn.
I feel like we're like the what's the channel called the. QVC or something like that. You know the channel growing up where it was just all the shopping channel? Like
yeah, you want me to try these on and like run around so I can sell a few?
Yeah.
everything's cool with me. Just
we'll
happy
do a show and tell.
To show off like my
oh, what a nice wife that she's saying you're
oh, that's
you're,
a wifey. Yeah. A lot of cool. It's pretty cool actually. A lot of these kits that you see behind, like we share them. So we order them and sometimes she'll get them small, but sometimes she gets them medium or large so that we can obviously share them. So it's pretty dope. That's our collection right there.
Look at this comment from Edward. I can't believe how many people are able to join right now. I guess maybe we have obviously people in the community around the world. It's more nighttime where you guys are. So that makes sense. So Edward, for example, welcome. He said he nailed it with the prediction of the, he was close, honestly, because that's what it felt like. It felt like Matt ran on the field and we had to bond him out of jail because that's the amount of anxiety I felt during the match. One of us must have.
My prediction was right. What did I say again? So I said it's one, and then we.
No, your prediction was not right. Your prediction was not right.
What are you talking about? It was. I said
you did say 2-1.
2-1, but you said Messi comes on and he gives it.
Yeah, you were giving like a whole backstory. Yeah,
I know, but like it, part of it was right at least. Ball. Like the fact that we went up early and we went up 1-0, I said that. Then I
that
said, coming to the second half, I said we were gonna, the score was gonna be tie 1-1, and then it was gonna be crazy 2-1. Maybe it wasn't Messi, but it was Suarez. Mm-hmm. And then
I
missed the whole thing about Matt going to jail and me having to bond him out.
I had that feeling.
That was kind of a big part of it, I think. I felt that anxiety.
It was good. It was probably going to, it could have happened because literally La Familia were jumping up and down and screaming and throwing flares and banging.
You were close
to my show and tell?
Hold
on. Let's go. Show and tell. We should start off with a show and tell every episode.
I saw them passing that out. Cool.
Is that what they were giving out? Yeah.
Yeah. They're called the Bam Bams.
That's
and
cool.
I love the name. I think that it's a funny name.
Love it.
I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, you can hear it pretty loud.
Well, my bad. Right, sorry. Cool.
I don't have anything for sure.
Headphone warning.
You don't have anything for show and tell.
But I guess when it's all said and done, Gian was the closest because we'll start with what is obvious, which is that Messi didn't play. However, I was in the press box, and because unfortunately I wasn't surrounded with some of my normal people who speak English with me, because fun fact, like a little behind the curtain, in the press box they have the game like broadcast, but it's the Spanish version because the majority of the reporters for Inter Miami covering the team obviously are South American based or have a South American.
And it's not the Spanish following. From it's not the Spanish from the Apple. Like it's actually the
radio.
It's Fernando Fiore.
Right. Yeah. It's the Spanish radio, right? It's the local. But so, you know, I'm usually able to communicate with my compatriots when I'm there. I have, you know, everyone's very friendly. But so anyway, all of this to say, I was listening to the game on Apple TV while being there so I can hear, you know, what the thoughts were from the American, the Apple TV, like Taylor Twellman, et cetera. And what he said, which I thought was interesting, is that, and I'm starting with Messi and addressing Messi, is that him not playing, what they said was this is the first time ever when he's not played in a match that he arrived on the team bus. And he actually, and I didn't see this personally, and I guess it was happening where people couldn't see it unless you saw it or other fans saw it. He was doing warming up and not playing warming up, but he was doing activity like physical treatment before the match. Never with the intention to play, but basically what they said and what their insiders were saying was that it was simply discomfort of his hamstring that has been lingering. It was not a new injury. And then they expect it to be a very short break. Like I think this weekend we can safely say he is not going to play. But based on that, and we'll see when it gets closer, they could be wrong, but they said it multiple times throughout the broadcast. They think it was minor enough where it was not worth risking a huge injury, but where they believe with the continued treatment, he will be available next week. That's what I gathered. We'll see. We'll obviously do a preview next week. We'll see if he ends up training, etc. But I just wanted to start with that because I don't know if everyone heard that. But like, for example, did either of you guys know that he was doing drills and like physical treatment and therapy before the match? And it was his first time ever going with the team and with on the bus and stuff. Even though he doesn't play, he normally just shows up right as the game starts in the suite. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. But
yeah, he walked in street clothes.
Right.
But then he did something. That's what the broadcast said, that he was doing work, and that the general consensus that they got from the team was that it was very minor, but just over the cusp of it was not worth risking the game, but where they think it will be very short term. So we'll see.
Are we gonna continue talking about Messi later on and this injury? Because I have a few things that I want to get off in regards to that.
I wasn't gonna bring it up again, so why don't you? Yeah, we can start with it and then we can get into the game. Because I think we're all. Were you surprised he didn't play? Is that what like?
No. Remember, I thought that
he thought it was either 100 or zero, right?
Yeah. I didn't think he was gonna play, honestly. So it wasn't too surprising. I just, one of the things I just wanted to share, and see your guys' feedback as well, is just, I think that Messi is. Let's see. I feel like Messi's having a hard time understanding his body at this point in his career in comparison to what his body was early on. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the examples of that is him not taking care of himself like he should and risking himself when he's not, just because of his love of the game and him wanting to be there for his teammates. And I think that what's a little worrying, at least for me, is when you hear Mascherano speak, he often will say, and he said that as recent as this week, that they tell Messi and the team, the physical team or the physiologos, like they talk to him, they tell him, this is what we think you guys should, this is what we think you should do. We don't think you should play or you should play. Even Mascherano gives him his 2 cents. But at the end of the day, the one that's really deciding if he's going to be on the field or not is Messi. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Messi's in the capacity right now where he can make that decision in a correct way that's going to help him. Like, for example, I look back at the Leagues Cup game against Necaxa. He went in there and he played 11 minutes and got injured and left the game. Like, to me, that's a perfect example of, he may think that he's ready to play, or he may know that he's not, but he's just, the will, the competitiveness, right, the wanting to be there for his team makes him get onto the field. At the end of the day, it was a bad decision, and it leads to things like this, where he's out, and then he can't be here for such a crucial game. Like, this is such an important game. we could have
in hindsight, you're like, why would you?
Yeah. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I think that Messi doesn't understand his own body right now and puts himself in risky situations where Mascherano needs to step up and the team needs to step up. And I understand it's Messi and it's the best player in the world. And he's got all the, you know, he's here on this team and he has priority to make his own decisions, but you got to step in because it's hurting the team at this point. It really is. It's not about Messi anymore. It's about Inter Miami. They need to grow the, you know, to be able to tell him to his face, like, I don't care if you feel like playing. I understand it. Thank you. But this isn't the best thing for the team right now. Like, this isn't about you. This is about Inter Miami and about prolonging your career. You've signed up for another 3 years or two seasons or 2.5 or whatever. Like, we need to start making the decisions for you. So that's I just feel that way now.
Yeah. And I mean, well, I will say I think that that's a fair, you know, critique. And maybe this is kind of where we'll see that actually unfold. You know, this maybe would have been the turning point, because I think in any other circumstance, like at least in the past where we've seen it, like, for example, him coming back in the LA Galaxy game, you know, and in the moment we're like, well, we scored, assisted, he looks amazing. Like, you know, it was the perfect amount of time and he's back and he's great. But in the end, it wasn't. And so now we know that, and hopefully they do too. I will say, though, in the Necaxa game, the reason that the injury happened during the game, like he collided with two players, and when he collided with them trying to go through them in the box, it pulled his leg, which is what aggravated the injury. I don't think it was like he wasn't feeling well and then he just felt it in 11 minutes.
You have to realize, if you're not 100%, injuries like that happen. Like, things like, if you're not 100%, the slightest of touches.
So you think maybe he could have been and just wasn't.
I think it's tough to give it 100%, but I think that when you have a player that's dealing with an injury, then he comes back and gets injured within 11 minutes of the game, like, it leads you to.
But he hadn't been injured before that.
He's been, yeah, he was. He was, wasn't he out for some time before going into that game?
No.
Didn't he miss any time?
No, he had played in the last 16, in the last 9 matches, had gotten 16 goals and assists. And then in the Necaxa game, in the 11th minute, he got the injury. But he hadn't been injured in,
I thought he, like, had, I thought, well, he had over dealing, a month. I thought he had been dealing with some discomfort. I may be misremembering, but I felt like.
I think you're right, though, in the sense of, like, there's no reason he should have played in that LA Galaxy game. Yeah. I think is so, but. So your point is valid in the fact that he needs to know, like, when those moments of aggravation happen, do not come back until you're 100%, or it is a elimination game.
And, like, then Ash, not to, like, I guess the jump too ahead, but also just thinking about the same, like, line of thinking, like the whole Jordi Alba thing. Like, I know we'll get into it, but ties into what I'm trying to say about Messi is, Jordi Alba should have never gone back in. And I think that the team, like Mascherano and them, just are giving players too much of a say, and they're not stepping forward. And
being that, like, was such a gross mismanagement. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but was that at that moment or at that point in the game, was Mascherano still on the sideline?
No.
Well,
Alan had done the full workout in the half. Like, he was doing a full one-on-one workout. And he was supposed to start the second half. Like, it was clear you were watching it from there. You watched Jordi Alba coming off the field. To anyone with the brain, the Noah Allen was getting ready to start the second half. And then I guess Jordi Alba said in the locker room at the last minute, he's like, no, I can do it. And then as Mascherano was walking out, he was told not. But but that doesn't matter, because Jordi Alba was going in the game. Like, if he wasn't, he would have already not been in the game. Like, you know what I mean? It was decided by him and Mascherano he was going to start the second half. Like, Mascherano wasn't kicked out until, like, the team was walking back on the field, including Jordi Alba. So that's where I'm saying, like, that's a mistake for Mascherano. It's not because he was not on the field. The fact, like, Noah Allen was supposed to be subbed. So anyway, we are jumping a little bit ahead. I think what you said about Messi is fair and valid, and I think it's just a go forward thing. Hopefully this is the example and the showing that, you know, we want to see him every game. Of course we do. And especially after the last 6 weeks, a of how well he's been playing. It sucks when he doesn't play, and it's true. But at the same time, 38 years old, 37 years old, and we want to be able to see as much of him as we can over these next couple of years. So it needs to be managed better by the whole organization and not just him. I think that's a fair point. So with that in mind, let's move into the match. Because to your point, it's a tale of two halves. Let's start with the first half. I think Mascherano had an absolutely excellent game plan. And he did everything you could ask for this to be able to put his team in a position to win the match to start. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to bring up Allende toward the end. But in that situation, you do start Allende. Like, there's obviously you start him over Fava. That's not a question. The point is, you know, in going into halftime or right before that the Alba injury, this Inter-Miami team should have been up by probably two or three goals. They were up by one, which was earned because they had played, they'd played perfectly. They were playing exactly what they needed to do. They were pressing. They were putting themselves in good positions, but they couldn't score. They got the penalty. Suarez scored. It's great. But as once we got to like the 35th minute, I'll speak for myself. I was starting to get anxiety, and I kept thinking, I even texted you, Gian. This was 10 minutes before the half even came. I was like, at halftime, they need to take out Allende because he couldn't score in an ocean right now. And it's not a personal knock on him. And he was running and he was creating and he was doing all of the right things except score. And when you're in an elimination match, the only thing that matters is that you score more than the other team. That's it. So I was starting to see something had to change because Inter Miami were doing everything right except being able to score that final goal. And so I think Mascherano deserves credit for that first half because the game plan, the lineup, the tactics, and the pressure, the press, like we see here, for example, like it was going perfectly. But then all of a sudden, everything flipped. Before we get to that, though, do you guys have thoughts on the first half and just like your opinion on what, you know, what it looked like?
I mean, it was basically what you said, and Allende is just going to do Allende type things. I mean, like the opportunities that Allende puts himself in are great because, and Mascherano has said it before in press conferences, he says Allende gets into those positions to score. He gets in those goal scoring opportunities, but it's just that final 1%, that final effort that is missing from his game to make him from an average player to a good player or even a great player. If Allende was on point, like if he flipped the switch tonight, he probably could have got a brace, especially when we were playing those over-the-top balls. Those seemed to work whenever we did kind of put him over. And but no, he just couldn't find it. He just couldn't find that extra 1%. For Ian Frey and Yannick Bright, I'm glad that we got to see both of them. I mean, like for Bright, it was kind of a no-brainer because who else is going to be starting in that position? But I'm glad that Frey got his spot over Chelo because it's something that fitted in this game plan, in this system, in this dynamic, in this game. And you can, and when you, with respect to Chelo, because I don't think Chelo's been a horrible player for us, but it was just Frey was 10 times better. And then when Chelo got on, there was definitely a shift in the momentum on that right side, at least and defensively.
The confidence.
But I thought Luján and Falcón were locking it down. I thought they were able to kind of lock down Correa and Ibanez, and Bruneta would get through a couple times, but I thought they were able to lock down Tigres offense. I thought Telasco had a great first half. Suarez had an amazing first half, dropping deep, putting passes in. They're trying to connect and create with his teammates. And literally everybody I thought had a fantastic first half, and we were able to go into halftime with the 1-0 with a 1-0 lead.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a tale of two halves. Like the first half was an aggressive Inter Miami, a dominant Inter Miami, a creative Inter Miami. Looked great. Everything flowing through Suarez. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best games Suarez has had, I think. Like even if you took out the two penalties, is one of the best games Suarez has had by far. And really going through that first 45 minutes, a masterclass by Mascherano. Unfortunately, other than that penalty in the first half, it didn't result in much else. It should have. We know why it should have, and it didn't happen, unfortunately, with Allende and his continual struggle, despite finding the right spots to be in and everybody doing the best they can to facilitate him. Unfortunately, he's just been unable to put the ball in the back of the net, neither with his foot nor his head. It seems, unfortunately, none of those are working for him. But then it's a second half where really Inter Miami was passive, defensive, sloppy at times.
And let's talk about why.
Yeah.
What started that?
You want to stick with the first half, and I'll just, and then we'll get into the second half. So with the first half, what I really loved is just Inter Miami being so intense up front with their press. It was so unlike Inter Miami. We haven't seen much of that, where they've liked to more than anything settle back and then just wait for, you know, at times give the opponent too much possession. I just loved that they were so high up in press and aggressive. And I think, weirdly enough, the reason why that happened is because Messi wasn't on the pitch, if you really think about it. And it was because De Paul played higher up and Suarez decided to run even more this game, more than I think he ever has. And when you have Suarez and Messi up front, that really doesn't happen. But De Paul was all over the place. And I really loved that. And they just pressed really high, made it really difficult for Tigres. Second half, I think that, again, we will wait for a second, but that kind of made De Paul a little tired and he looked different in the second half. But yeah, I think that they played great for that. Unfortunately, just it didn't result in much that first half.
Yeah, and it circles back to the fact that, like, I understand you couldn't start Fafa over Allende knowing that, like, with Messi unavailable. You couldn't. And if Fafa's not your answer, I don't know what it is, but it is so clear that Allende cannot score right now. He has to be taken off. He has to. You can't not have an attacker who can't score, and he can't score. And in a game where you need to score, like, I don't know. Like, it's
I just wish Fafa would have proved that he can score, though. That's the issue. He hasn't scored either.
He did it earlier in the season. He had two or three goals in the beginning of the season that he got. One was like a header, and then he didn't get game time for like 2 months. And since then, it's been a shame. And then obviously we've traded all of our attackers. So we've been put into a difficult position. And I get it. But that's Mascherano and Inter Miami's problem to solve. Put Segovia up there, for God's sake. At least Segovia has proven he can score. Do something. I don't know what it is, but it every time you saw it, you're like, I know right now. That was a goal that we needed to score. And so all of that to say, we get to the 45th minute. And I was a little upset that we were going to be going into half only up by one, because I felt like we deserved to score more. But then Jordi Alba gets hurt and has an unfortunate collision with Segovia. And he seemed to be in absolute agony. Okay. At first it looked like because no one saw it in the initial like action, and he went down when the ball was on the other side of the pitch. He was like, oh no, is it an ACL? Is it something that was like a non-contact injury? Then you saw it was a contact injury. His knee collided and it was a really unfortunate event that happened. And he got treatment, and I understood that they did all they could to get him into halftime. Right. But then from there, I saw what was one of the most almost unforgivable mismanagement of players and situational understanding that I've seen. And it is Mascherano's fault. There's no one else to blame. Jordi Alba clearly was not able to play. And I get it. I get it that you don't have Messi. And Jordi Alba is a champion. He's a World Cup winner. He's one of the best left backs to have ever played. And you want to trust him in that moment. But you know that he couldn't. You could see it in his eyes. And when he was walking onto the field in the second half, he couldn't walk. You had just spent 15 minutes having Noah Allen do one-on-one training to prepare to come into the game. I know it's not best case scenario because I know it limits you going up the left side. But as a coach, you figure it out. And you're like, okay, well, we know we need to make this switch at halftime so we can save a substitution window. No, Allen, now you're going to have to do this. So because of we're not going to be able to just run through Jordi, okay, now we need to do X, Y, and Z so that we can create more on the left. That is what the coach is supposed to decide. Jordi Alba may have said, no, I can make it through. This is a quarterfinal. I've walked it off. I've gotten treatment. But I know, and anyone with eyes knew, he couldn't. And as he was walking on the field, all I was thinking is, why? And I was like, he couldn't walk onto the field. And I'm like, you're not going to use a substitution window. You'll never get a full 90 minutes out of Jordi Alba, so you're going to have to sub him anyway, was my feeling. You're good. Let's say best case scenario, he did and he became a warrior and defied injury physics and was able to play 15, 20 more minutes. Great. You were going to have to sub him anyway. But what happens instead? 2 minutes. In the 46 minute and 45 seconds, he goes down. What do we have to do? Immediately sub him for Noah Allen. So now we have one sub window gone. So that is such a gross mismanagement from Mascherano. I don't care what Jordi Alba says. Anyone with eyes, and that's the training staff too, he could not do it. He couldn't do it. And that is when you, as a coach and as a medical staff, make that decision. You say, I'm sorry, Jordi Alba, you are not playing in the second half. We cannot risk it. We cannot risk the injury window. We cannot risk knowing the players, knowing the situational football we're in. We need someone who could be running at 100% and be able to defend. We're winning right now, and we're playing in a very aggressive game. I'm sorry. It's really unfortunate that you got injured. You can't play. And that needed to be decided by the team, not by Jordi Alba.
Yeah, so I think I spoke about it in the preview. I think it was in this last preview where I talked about it with Messi. And I know Gian spoke a little bit about it as well. But it's like we can't have the players themselves make that decision for themselves, if that makes sense. If Messi is injured, the physios say, no, he can't play. And Mascherano, you recommend that he can't play. And Messi says, no, I want to play. The answer should be, no, you're not playing because I'm the head coach and I make that final decision. It should have been the same thing with Jordi Alba.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Gabba went down, it should have immediately, he played out the rest of the first half, which he
should
have.
As a warrior. And it's so noble that you wanted to play. No, this is no disrespect to Jordi Alba. Mm-hmm. It is everyone else. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I was going to say, it's not him. Like, I think it's brave and it's noble and it's, you know, obviously that the heart of a champion and a warrior. And you made it through the half, and I don't know how. And he's clearly injured, so I'll let you go from there. But it's just, it's not him. That's the problem.
Right, because that just shows his determination, his passion, his heart to continue to play and continue to be there for his team. But Mascherano should have saw the bigger picture and say, hey, you can't play. You need to sit out, especially now at halftime. We get the free window. We get to make the sub now. You get to rest, recover, whatever. Yes, it would have been nice to have Jordi Alba for the 90 minutes. But I just don't see why that decision isn't being made. Like, why isn't there more firmness in those kinds of decisions? Because those decisions not only affect players' health, that could affect their, like, for the short term in a game, but that could affect their career. Like, what if, God forbid, knock on wood, Jordi Alba, like, broke his freaking chin.
Yes, we're alive.
Broke his kneecap.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Or I don't know, tore an ACL. Like, he could have literally, and that would have been the coach's fault at that point. Because of course the player is going to want to play. But as the coach, you need to make the final decision, have the cojones to be like, you're not playing, take a seat, and we'll discuss it later and we'll figure it out later.
And if we had lost, you know, and it happened from a bunch of stuff that happened on the left, yeah, we'd be upset. But we'd been like, Jordi Alba got hurt. Things happen. That is what happened. He got hurt. And Noah Allen's no scrub. He's proved all year that he is, of course, he's not at the level of Jordi Alba, but Noah Allen has been a fine left back for us. And it's not like you were getting like a 16-year-old who's never played for Inter Miami and was your fourth string option. Noah Allen would have been able to do what was asked of him. It was no Jordi Alba, but he would have been able to do what's asked of him. And so this is a good point here before I let you go, Gian, really quick. I think the medical staff realized the mistake, obviously. Immediately, because as soon as Ian Frey went down, the sub was made before he could even, like, before he got back up. And he in the end, I think it was a cramp, and he probably could have kept playing. He would have slowed down. He would have eventually had to come off. It was a cramp because he hadn't played in a while. But and he was upset about it. But they were like, cello right now. The fact that you didn't know to do that with Jordi Alba after what had just happened to Messi, mm-hmm. I just think is so inexcusable that it had me red. But Gian, you tell me your perspective.
I think we forget that Javier Mascherano is a rookie coach and he's learning on the fly. And that's the reason why these things happen. If you had an experienced coach, if you had a coach that wasn't...
What about medical staff even?
It has nothing to do with the medical staff. Medical staff gives their opinion to the coach, and then the coach decides what to do with that opinion. And at the end of the day, yeah. Mascherano is a guy learning on the fly. He's a coach that's doing... I mean, it depends what you rate him. He's doing okay, but he could do a lot better. And I think a more experienced coach would have been able to tell Mascherano, been able to tell Messi that they're not going to see the field despite what they think. I think other than the fact that he's still learning on the fly, it's the fact that he's only 41 years old and he's dealing with players that are 38, 35, basically right. The same age as him, players that he used to play with, that he's friends with, that he shared the field with. I think that for him, it's more difficult to make those decisions. And I think he's wrong for those decisions, but I understand why they're happening. And I think more than Mascherano, I think it's on the front office and those that put him in that position where it wasn't a position that he should have been in to start with. So that's one part. The other part is regarding Noah Allen. Oh, no, excuse me. Regarding Noah Allen, like, Noah Allen is not replacing Jordi Alba in one bit. While he's capable of filling in for that position, he is not having the same having the same impact on attack. Once they saw that, the right back from Tigres was salivating. They no longer had to worry about a Jordi Alba coming up the left side of the field for Inter Miami, and they could push up a lot higher. Like, that completely changed the game in the second half, and that's probably why, one of the reasons, other than the fact that Mascherano, it's hard for him to make that decision. He was like, oh, bro, like, okay, yeah, Noah Allen can maybe sit there and stand there, but the impact is completely different. Now, on the other side, on the right back side, you're talking about Chelo. Chelo didn't come in because Ian Frey was injured. Ian Frey clearly could have kept going, and he even motioned over that he was good to go. He gave the thumbs up. I think I counted like 50 times, like no lie. Like he just thumbs up.
Like I just needed to stretch.
Like, I'm ready to keep going.
Yeah.
To me, that was a planned substitution because Mascherano thinks that Ian Frey brings a lot on the attack, but for some reason he thinks that Chelo is a better defender. And I think from the very beginning, he thought that he was going to bring in Chelo around that moment in time. So I don't think it has anything
to do. Which I disagree with.
I thought that he was just going to do that anyway. That was always part of the plan. I disagree with it.
But he's so quick with that. He's so quick with that decision. But then when it comes to benching one of your star players because he actually is injured and literally can't walk, you're like, ah, no, okay, it's fine.
And also, this is where coaching comes in. Like, to your point, Gian, like, yeah, you're right that it's close in age and everything. But when they were doing the interview process and they were making this decision, you have these scenarios where this happens. One, they needed to believe, and he had to have said and shown the front office. And if not, it's a really bad, like you said, on the front office. One, have the strength and the leadership to say, Jordy, I'm sorry, you can't play the second half. And then immediately knowing that, how do I switch or how do I move players around so our left side is better covered with what we have? Then you change, whether that's going to a back three, whatever the case may be, you have to adjust and you have to have a plan B.
That wasn't an issue though. I don't think the defense was an issue. I don't think that changed anything on defense. I don't like our issue.
Then that's why he should have gotten subbed at half. Then
no. So what happened is the biggest reason why the second half was completely different than the first half was, number one, you lose Jordi Alba, and as soon as Jordi Alba comes out, you completely lose and. Like one of the biggest, like 50% of your attack, it was all going through Suarez and the left side through Jordi Alba. It was and it didn't allow for, like, how do I say this? Our attack with Jordi Alba was actually a big part of our defense as well, because it hindered what the opponent was doing because they were so worried about Jordi Alba that they couldn't attack how they wanted to. So Jordi Alba comes out and then Tigres can attack in a completely different way that absolutely killed us. Then the second part to me, which was completely boggled my mind, was you lose your attack on the left side with Jordi Alba that completely opens up that side for Tigres to attack because they don't have to worry about him. Mm-hmm. Your only other side, now you have your attack on the right side with Ian Frey. So at least they don't have to worry about Jordi, but they still got to worry about Ian Frey because Ian Frey was high up in attack and he was so what do you do? Not you lose the left side. Now you take out Ian Frey and put in Chelo. So now the left back and the right back are freed up by Tigres and they can do whatever they want. And that was very clear. As soon as that happened, we completely came
tactical meltdown.
We completely played even deeper on our side and they had the wings completely open. And it was like, like, I understand if Mascherano, and again, I 100% have in my mind that he had that planned with Chelo, but as soon as Jordi Alba came out, that plan should have gone out the door and said, now I can't bring in Chelo like I wanted to because I need somebody to still be an attacking or somebody to attack to keep Tigres at bay. Because if not, I'm screwed. But that went out the door and it almost turned deadly for us. Like, we are beyond lucky that what's his name that got the two handballs?
The same defender.
We are so lucky that it was his most unluckiest day, like, of his life, because that's what it could have been worse.
Literally, that first handball was not a handball, in my opinion. But we can spend all day talking about that. And then the second one, it was just that was clear as day. But yeah, I don't know.
But I would say overall as refereeing, I think it was fairly reffed, and if anything, I think it was actually a little unfairly reffed to Inter Miami, but obviously we got the penalties. So in the end, like, it wasn't a reffing thing. Like, both teams, like, I don't think there was favorability in that sense. So in the end, to your point, like, the second half, it was a huge mismanagement. And I understand Mascherano gets a red, so that makes things difficult for the team then to have to try and manage it. But we've seen for every other person or time a manager gets a red card, you go on your phone, and whether you're in the suite or on the seat behind, doesn't matter where it is, you're on your phone and you have your AirPod in and you're speaking to the coach who takes over for you. I've seen it a billion times happen in the Premier League. Is it the same? No. But it's still Mascherano making all the decisions. Like, he made every decision in the second half. He was on the phone the whole time. Every decision was
FaceTiming or on WhatsApp?
But definitely you know WhatsApp. What I mean? And WhatsApp, the clips, right? The clips were funny and stuff like that. But every decision that the assistant coach made was because Mascherano told him to. So the whole game was still coached by Mascherano. I want to make that clear. The decisions, and again, at then you're getting to a point, well, Segovia, that there was a stupid yellow card he got into the fourth minute. So you then in the second half, he was playing a great game, and if he hadn't gotten that yellow, he would have stayed in longer, and you would have maybe seen him move up more on the left, to your point, Gian, because they had to start trying to find better ways to attack through the left.
Do you
got a yellow card and they didn't?
Ash, do you really think he would have stayed if he didn't have a yellow? You really do?
Yeah. I think he would have stayed in longer.
I think it's
a domino effect, because I think they wouldn't have made that first sub. Like, they had to, because they had to use the first sub window on Noah Allen, right? Like, if they made the sub of Noah Allen at halftime, they still had three substitution windows. So Segovia would have been subbed, but I don't think he would have been subbed in the 58th minute. Maybe the 66th or 67th, for example. Like, I think they would have tried to get a little bit more attacking out of him. But because of the substitution domino effect that happened, and because of the yellow card in the fourth minute, it was a bad situation.
God, I hated that substitution, honestly. That was, I think it was Kremaski for Telasco.
Yeah.
That honestly was...
But you didn't want him to get a red card, because if he got another yellow, he gets a red, and then you're down to 10, and you couldn't do that.
No, I know, but he could have done something else. He could have put in somebody else. He could have put
I think
Baltasar on the bench.
Yeah.
Baltasar could have come in. Mm-hmm. Like, because he had two options 100%. With the last one. He either could have put in Fafa, yeah, or he could have been put in Baltasar.
Right.
Fafa gives you more attack, less of a presence in the midfield. Baltasar gives you a better balance. Baltasar allows you to still have an attacking presence, but gives you a more concrete midfield. And to me, that would have been the better of the options, right? Because, and that's probably what he would have leaned for. He would probably didn't want so much attack, especially that far into the game. But what does he do? Instead of going with one of those two options, he goes in with Kremaski. That solidifies that midfield and basically puts in Bright, Busquets, and Kremaski as your three midfielders. But that completely changed the game, because then he sat back along with the Cello substitution. And
that was the game plan.
That killed it.
That was his plan all along.
Yeah. Like, that's what
and that's the problem. And that's the huge problem. And that's good if you have Allende finish 1% of the chances he's had. Then you're like, you don't have Messi. You're just trying to survive. You had a great first half. Your players are older and getting tired in the second half. Maybe that it was your plan all along. And it's not my favorite way of playing. But if the score had been 2 or 3 nil, we would be feeling differently. And if the Jordi Alba injury didn't happen, we would be feeling differently.
That was minute 60. Look, that was that substitution, the Benja for Telasco and the Cello for Ian Frey, were both of those were minute 63. Those half
like
an
they
hour
had
left
to do
play.
Both because nope. They used the window on Jordi Alba.
He didn't have to do any. What do you mean? He didn't have to do any. He didn't have to bring in Cello
for
Ian Frey.
He didn't have to bring in
Kremaski. If he wanted to make a change, like I just said, he could have brought in Telasco or he could have brought in Fafa. He makes two absurd changes with 30 minutes left to play to sit back and try to control the game. You have half an hour left. And what happens? 4 minutes later, you get scored on. Like, that's not a coincidence that we got scored on 4 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Can you still hear me, by the way?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence. Like, that is
your camera's off though. Just
yeah, no, I know. Okay. I'll fix it now. But it's horrible substitutions.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, it's like, again, it's a chain reaction. And I understand, like, we have to make it clear that one, he had to start Allende. But what I would say is, again, coming back to my chain reaction, if you had over the last 3 weeks of matches given Fafa and or Baltasar Rodriguez more playing time, then you would have maybe felt more comfortable playing them earlier or different. But because you didn't, you had no choice but to play Allende. So this is a chain reaction starting from weeks ago, right? And then you know, the Alba injury was completely out of Mascherano's control. What they did from it was, and that's the problem. In the second half, and the fact that you didn't score more when you had the plan, if you had scored two or three goals, again, like I said, then having a defensive plan as your second half and you're up by two, let's say, or up by three, I understand. But then you had to use your first window within the first 65 seconds of the second half. Makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And it ruins your attacking on the left. So all of these issues are happening, and then you're just watching the next 25 minutes praying to every person and every god that this goes to penalties, because you're like, we have no other choice. We have completely mismanaged every aspect of this match. Mm-hmm. And what was such a good game plan in first half without Messi has been completely ruined because mm-hmm. of mismanagement. And so I think we can move on now and we can talk about maybe some of the positives, and we should give Suarez his flowers. Obviously, Rodrigo de Paul towards the end was getting tired, had a couple knocks. I'm probably doubtful for this weekend, which is fine. And you know, everyone was doing their best. There was a comment earlier. I went on to our friend, the Drive Pink Dialogue, as it was doing their post-match. I joined in from my phone for a second. And what I said, and I'll say it to you guys, and I'll say it as a future topic. If I got anything out of this match that I want to take positively, obviously we end up winning. Suarez comes in clutch. Players did what they had to do. Luck was on our side. We won. That's good. In football, in games, in sports, you need luck. You do. It happens. We got our luck last night. I need this team to figure out a way to be able to play Bright, Busquets, and De Paul at the same time. And I don't know how, but they have to. Because Bright was the reason we didn't lose last night. Yannick Bright is the sole reason we didn't lose last night. And Suarez too, but what I mean to say is the amount from minute zero to minute 90, even that last play where Yannick Bright went through like five defenders and almost scored an absolute freaking like golazo. Yannick Bright was so good that you need to figure out a way to play all three, because, and I don't know how and I don't know why, and that will be a future thing we can discuss, but he's too good to not play. So I hope they can figure something out. But let's talk about Luis Suarez, because we're 50 minutes in, and for a player who we've said hasn't been able to score, but we have all said this, and it came true last night in different ways. The goals, missing the goals, has been unexcusable, but we know that he still has the soccer IQ of 100%, and that he is a playmaker, and he is someone who can create. And last night, man, did he come through, because he was someone that they had to worry about from minute zero to minute 90. And we don't normally say that, because he obviously has his moments and then X, Y, and Z, and you have to worry about other players. You had to worry about Luis Suarez for every minute of that match, because he's not only does he score penalties, but all he was doing was creating fouls, creating moments, coming up in the midfield, helping with transitions, giving Allende every chance possible. Just like I could have scored one of those goals. Like literally that's how many opportunities he presented. Really deserves his flowers, because it's been a tough season in terms of goals, but we have all seen the effort and the playmaking that he's done. And I think last night he got rewarded for what has been, you know, a difficult season, and obviously he's coming to the end of his career. It's clear his body is breaking down. But last night he gave everything he had. He got the two penalties and he won us the game. And so I think he deserves the praise.
I have the stat for Suarez. I have that I found out is that he has with the two goals that he scored against Tigres, that puts him with six goal contributions in the last four games played. That also puts him...
Contributions, right?
Yes. Yeah. Six goal contributions in the last four games played. That also puts him at 20 goal contributions in the last 24 games this season. Jeez. At 38 years old.
That's what we've been saying. He hasn't scored, and it looks bad. When he misses, it looks bad. But if you watch him, you see all the other good things.
When you watch it, when you look at the stats and you take a step back, you realize how good of a player Luis Suarez still is. And yes, he may not be the top goal scorer in the MLS this season. Yes, he may not been, well, I guess what people have said, how he was last year, I guess, like just scoring left and right. But like people are also saying, like, people are acting like he's not playing. Like he's just kind of walking around and yelling at everybody, which sometimes that's true. Yes. But no, he's also contributing to this team. Like he's contributing to this team. He's creating opportunities. He's connecting with his teammates. He is cooking. He's cooking, and nobody is giving him that recognition.
Yeah.
No matter what he does, he just scored a brace against Tigres. He's going to play on Saturday against DC United and not score. And people are going to be like, Suarez is mad. I was going to say a curse word. Suarez is bad. Suarez is slow. He doesn't run. Doesn't this, doesn't that. Meanwhile, he's sitting on 20 goal contributions in 24 games. That's creating wild. In every game. He's creating in almost every single game. So that just puts it into a little bit
and
more
it's,
perspective.
And still, his job is to score goals. We get it. And he's not. And it's a problem. No doubt. But we've been saying this for a while. He still is doing everything he can. And with the fact that Inter Miami got rid of Campana, and I've made the decision that he is still going to be the main striker this year, he's doing everything he can with what he has. And so I think that deserves credit. I just do.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it's not like he's not – it's not like he's not involved in the goals. Like, yeah, he's not scoring them directly, but it's goal contributions. Like you're contributing to the goal being scored. It doesn't matter who scores the goal. If Luis Suarez can get 20 assists in 24 games, but he get and like and then
if
gets
his name
three
wasn't
goals,
Luis Suarez, well,
is he really doing a bad job? Like he's getting
we'd
assists.
Be saying offensive player of the year, right? Outside of Messi, we'd be like, mm-hmm. This is the most important person ever.
So yeah, he has 20 goal contributions in 24. I feel like he'd have 30 if I didn't finish like even 10% of the.
He'd have 50.
He'd have 50.
He would have
come
a million.
On, man. And if he himself scored 10% of the ones he's missed, he'd have 50. That's how much good he has been doing. But just like it just on the surface is not showing. Right.
I think that we have to understand the position that he's been put in this season and the role that he's playing under Mascherano is different than the role that he was playing under Tata Martino. And that I think will probably more align our thoughts to be a little bit more accurate on what he's doing on the field and really value the contribution that he's made, no pun intended, with the goal contributions. But right. Like just the fact that he's a nine, but he's not. So he's a false nine is what he's playing right now. And more than not, like I'm seeing him at half field a lot of times, especially when Messi's not playing, he becomes even more of a facilitator, which I thought is interesting because going into this game, thinking that Messi might not or probably wasn't going to play, I thought, that's funny. I was under the impression that De Paul was probably going to be the main facilitator, right? Especially him moving up and Yannick Bright being the one next to Busquets, that he was going to be the one with the ball in his at his feet and making the passes and all that. But at the end of the day, it was actually Suarez that was doing that. And he was not just connecting with Jordi. He was not just connecting with Allende. He was connecting with Ian Frey. He was connecting with everybody. And I thought that I was amazing. He was putting people – like he wasn't – just putting a pass here or there. He was actually putting you into a position to score. And there were multiple times that, yeah, I mean, this seems to be the in the spotlight all the time, but it's true. Like he was given multiple chances where he could score with 1-2 passes, leaving him alone against the goalie. And he just takes too long to kick the ball. Or when he stops the ball, it maybe goes a yard in front of him and gets taken away. So Suarez was man of the match by far. And
1,000%.
I just think that for me, I know that Paul had, especially that one that he put, it just so happens to be was Allende as well, but he put in a perfectly placed center into the area that left Allende. All he had to do was head the ball and he headed it over. But like other than that, and the fact that he pressured, I think that Paul had a good game, but I did think he was a bit underwhelming with the expectations I had for him. And it's obvious that he's still trying to acclimate himself to this incredible humidity and heat that it is.
And he just finished the whole season with athletic
he looked exhausted. And part of it is acclimating to the weather and the fact that he was pressing like a monster. But I expected a little more out of him. But Swat is absolutely incredible, invaluable, man of the match.
I want to bring this up because I think this is something that, and we'll wind down the show now, because I think we've all aired our grievances. And look, at the end of the day, we won. It worked out. I guess it was a game of two halves, but we did enough in the first half that allowed us that moment in the dying moments of the second half to be able to win, right? So it's like everything happens for a reason in the end. We'll take it. And next Wednesday, hopefully Messi is ready. And hopefully we have a chance at this trophy still. But this is the point, I think. And we've been saying this for a long time. I have no problem starting Suarez every time. Because, again, it's true. The misses are bad. And if we had a great – I know we have Obando, but you obviously don't trust him as much as Suarez. And I wish he got more minutes, et cetera. And that's coaching. And that's a long conversation that we could also talk about. But it's not him that's the problem. It's the fact that other players aren't getting chances because Suarez has no choice. He is your number nine based on the way you've built this team and the structure. He's your number nine, and he's doing everything in his power each match to get goals. Whether they come from his foot or not, he's trying from minute zero to minute 90 to have Inter Miami score. And that is what you ask for him. The fact that, like I said, from months ago, and I don't know if you caught that, Gian, because you were switching cameras, but I said, you know, yeah, you had no choice yesterday and that you had to start Allende because of, you know, you needed consistency and you needed to feel like I get it. But if for over the last 2 months you had given Fafa or Baltasar or Obando more chances in the last 3 months, then you would have felt more comfortable being able to make more changes, but you couldn't. And so you had no choice. And that is bad coaching from 3 months ago. So it's every game matters and every bad decision matters and every good decision matters. And so I'll say this. We can end on the note where I'm happy Inter Miami won. I think they played such a great first half and then things obviously completely derailed. We got lucky. Tigres was not expecting our first half, and we took advantage of it, but we didn't take enough advantage of it. In the end, we had penalties go our way. I think it was our fourth penalty of the season, though, by the way. Like, we're not usually helped by the refs. So, like, let's make that clear. Like, we never get penalties. So that's how the game ended. We live to fight another day, and we will see next Wednesday, and we'll do our preview for it, of course. We'll see the discourse over the next few days. We had a lot of people tune in this afternoon, which I think is awesome because, like we said, it's a bit of a different time than normal. But please leave your comments if you get a chance to watch us later and let us know if you agree, if you disagree, what you think could have been done differently or better. Or maybe you may think that, like, Mascherano did all he could because he was put into impossible situations, which you could say, you know, like, there are arguments for everything. And so I want, you know, everyone give their thoughts. But, Inter Miami win. Hopefully Leo Messi works to heal. And we live to see another day. And we get to try and have our rematch against Orlando and make it, hopefully, to the League's Cup Finals. So for this match, do you guys have any last thoughts you want to get out before we close it up for now?
Just excited to be in the semifinal and to hopefully see a full rested team and a full healthy team for when that comes next week. And I want to see Santi Morales and Obando and Ryan Saylor play on Saturday.
Yeah.
And sure.
Yeah. I think that's a great, that's a wise thing to say. Man. I
think thank you.
This next game,
like my wisdom.
100%. I think it should definitely be a game where you see guys that aren't getting a lot of minutes and see them play. And I think that against Orlando, I'm excited for that game, excited for us to get revenge on this last game. And then also, I just want to see Mascherano take and learn from what he did in that first half and against Tigres and try to mimic that against Orlando, because I think that's a winning recipe. And I think that if we don't have the same bad luck with Jordi Alba coming out and maybe a few better substitutions or decisions on substitution wise, I think that that game against Orlando is going to look like this Tigres first half and even better in the second half, and we're definitely going to win.
Yeah, I agree. And so look, we've aired our grievances. It was a weird game. It's a memorable game. Messi didn't play. I hope we see moving forward what you mentioned earlier, Gian, about the team making the decisions for players, that even if when they want to play and the fact that they always want to contribute is very noble, and we appreciate it, and it shows why they're some of the best to ever play. Moving forward, we see better management from the team, from the training staff, from the front office, from everyone, to put this team in the best positions possible to win. And so, look, we've set our grievances. We're on a clean slate. We move forward. I'm so excited that we're in the semifinals. Next week, when we do our preview, I'm going to be so excited. And I'm ready. And I hope Inter Miami are now only, you know, a week and a half away from winning a trophy. And then it'd be awesome. And we have so much to go. This is one game. We got it out. We move forward now. Hopefully everyone has learned from it. But yeah, that's our episode. That's what we have to say. You let us know what you think. Sometimes the soccer gods were on our team last night, and we were lucky to have them, and we're lucky to have the team we have. We're lucky to be Inter Miami fans and an Inter Miami podcast, and we love to see another day. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley, that is Gian, that is Matt, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.